Chapter 2, Harvard Department of Visionary Experience. January 1960, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Harvard, at the beginning of this new decade, was a prestigious academic coral reef, a solid accumulation of academic traditions piled up over the centuries, supporting a great variety of shoreline creatures. There were barnacle full professors and quick-darting lecturers and nervous, slippery graduate students and many gaily colored tiny undergraduates who were snapped up by scuttling faculty crabs and occasionally by Kissinger-Schlesinger-type killer whales who swept through these sheltered waters on annual migrations to and from Wall Street, Washington, and other feeding grounds. Okay, here's the picture. Dwight D. Eisenhower was finishing his last year of office. Richard Nixon was vice president. The Cold War heated up with the Castro victory in Cuba and the Chinese invasion of Tibet. Publisher Barney Rossett of Grove Press overthrew a post office ban against Lady Chatterley's Lover. Naked Lunch by William Burroughs was an underground bestseller. Hiroshima Mon Amour and Black Orpheus and Some Like It Hot were popular movies. An anti-anxiety drug called Librium was becoming the most widely used mood changer available to the American public. I got off to a fast start on the Harvard academic track. There was much student dissatisfaction with the Freudians, whose theories of psychopathology thrived in the damp, mossy atmosphere of the Back Bay. The Skinnerian conditioners had alienated many with their clannish, humorless behavioral manipulations. The Social Relations Department had just completed a statistical survey of diagnostic systems used in psychology, and my Interpersonal Diagnosis of Personality, named the best book in psychotherapy for the year 1957, fared very well under this analysis, attracting much interest in its new approaches to behavioral change. The graduate students were especially ready for new techniques. They had hoped to find human psychology the most thrilling, lively, and optimistic area of psychology. My assignment was to teach the advanced graduate seminar in psychotherapy. But first, I had to change the field sites for so-called clinical training. My message has always been the same: decentralize. Graduate students were normally assigned to Freudian-oriented clinics and hospitals, which encouraged rote learning of sterile and ineffectual tests like the Rorschach inkblots. In my lectures to the students, I said, hey, let's learn how to deal with problems in the skid rows, in the ghetto community centers, in Catholic orphanages, in marriage clinics, in jails, and other natural habitats of human beings. Let's tackle some steamy jungle street life crises out there, where they happen. The more traditional faculty members, of course, bridled at this. Fortunately, there are lots of graduate students and young professors who are also interested in new methods of behavior change. Professor McClellan had staffed the center with several maverick instructors who were eager for something exciting to happen. Down the hall, for example, in a high-prestige corner office, was a most engaging faculty member, someone who was to play a major role in the events to follow. Assistant Professor Richard Alpert was a tall, boyish, 30-year-old psychologist, a very ambitious academic politician, engaging, witty, and a wonderful, big, tail-wagging puppy dog. The prankster in Professor Alpert responded to the anti-establishment flavor of my ideas. Partnership with him came naturally to me because of an attitude fostered in earliest childhood by a very subversive book that I'd almost committed to memory. The two rebellious pals, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, were role models. And like Tom, I lived mostly in a fantastical, mythic adventure land, dodging arrows as I bicycled the Pony Express mail down the street in front of my house, hiding from my white-skinned parents in a teepee in the backyard, slipping out the window of my bedroom to sneak across the roof and down the drain pipes on late-night sorties, surreptitiously lifting fingerprints of the neighbors, stalking unsuspecting friends on missions for the Detective Bureau. I sized up Richard Alpert as a potential hook for my Tom. When I told him that I was planning to spend the summer in Mexico, Dick, a licensed pilot, proposed that he buy an airplane and ferry us on a tour around Mexico and the Caribbean.